I think we have a few this morning. Come on ahead. I won't bite too much. All right. Well, today is a very, very special day, and you've heard me say a number of times about it being All Saints Sunday. And not only is it All Saints Sunday, but for some of us, we even have birthdays, right? Yeah, that is special. Last Sunday, I talked about All Saints Eve. Remember that? About how people would dress up and how they would go around and they would pray for those who had died within the last year or so, and the people that they would go to their homes, they would give them like little prayer, little scripture cakes, and that's kind of part of how Christianity had claimed Halloween. But today, what I want to talk about is All Saints itself. Now, what do you think of when you think of that word All Saints, that all of us are saints? Any idea what that means? Do you think that means being a saint, that means being perfect? No, it's not. Do you think it means that we never make a mistake, or that we're just good and just all the time, and you think that's what it means? No, it's not. To be a saint means that we are a people who are claimed by God. We are God's people. And the only thing and we're not holy, but we are saints because He is holy, because Jesus is holy. Okay? And so on All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have died. Now, you probably have family members, someone who you know who has died, okay? And so what we do on this day is we remember those wonderful people whom we have been able to share life with, who's touched our lives, whom we've loved, and we know that they are with God in heaven. And we don't see them anymore on this earth, but we know that they are with God. Now, there are some things in life that we can't see. You know that? But we know that's there. How many of you can see the air around us? Can you see the air? Can you see the air? Well, no, you can't. Can you see the effect of air? Well, let's see. Watch. Did you see the air blow out? Or did you see the effect of the air? The effect of the air. And so there's some things that we can't see, but we know that just are. All right? And so when we think of Jesus, we think of Him being like that. God is with us all the time. And so we may not see Him physically, but we see the effect of God with us. In fact, we talked about some of that just a second ago in our prayer time about where have we seen God, and we've seen how God has moved. Now, All Saints Day reminds us then that this God who loves us, that this God who is unseen, is also this God who holds all of our family, all of our loved ones with Him forever and ever and ever. And whenever we die, we also go to be with Him. Okay? And so today, that's what today is all about, is All Saints. Those who have died, and that they are with the Lord. We do not see them anymore, but one day, we will. And that's good news. That's really good news. Because even when we die, as we have our relationship, as we live with Jesus, and we live our lives with Jesus, we know that one day we will be caught up with Him in heaven. And so that's what we celebrate. When we light the candles today, we light the candles remembering that individual, remembering that fire that burned within them, that fire that still burns for all eternity. And so that's what that's all about, and that's why we do what we do on All Saints. Okay? Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank You for Your grace, and I thank You for these children. And Lord, I just ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to see and to recognize Your presence with us and how You love us. And especially, Lord, as we remember and as we celebrate the lives of those whom we love on this day. Lord, help us to grow closer to You and closer to one another. And we give You all of our praise, for it's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. this time, it is a privilege to share with you the names of those whom we remember this year. I want to give you an opportunity after sharing these names for you also to share a name that maybe hasn't been lifted up on the screen, and we have a candle that we'll want to make sure that we light for these individuals. What we'll do is I would invite you to stand if you have a special relationship with the individual. They were a special friend or touched your life in a special way. I want you to stand during the lighting of the candle as a way to respect and honor the individual. And so let us begin now as we share in a time of giving thanks, in a time of celebrating lives, and as a time of growing in God's grace. Let us remember and let us give thanks for David C. Bartle, Jr. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Joe Blackmer. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Harlan Walter Felton. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Elmer Jr. Osborne. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Pauline C. Regal. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Mary E. Rook. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Eldon Sanders. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Frank Sanders. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Richard Sanders. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Merle Southworth. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember Beverly L. Williams. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us pray together. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Ever-loving God, this day revives in us memories of loved ones who are no more. What happiness we shared when they walked among us. What joy when, loving and being loved, we lived our lives together.
Their memory is a blessing forever.
Months or years may have passed, and still we feel near to them. Our hearts yearn for them. Though the bitter grief has softened, a duller pain abides, for the place where once they stood is empty now. The links of life are broken, but the links of love and longing cannot break.
Their souls are found in the forever.
We see them now with the eye of memory, their faults forgiven, their virtues grown larger. So does goodness live and weakness fade from sight. We remember them with gratitude and bless their names.
Their memory is a blessing forever.
And we remember as well those who but yesterday were part of our congregation and community. To all who cared for us and labored for all people, we pay tribute. May we prove worthy of carrying on the tradition of our faith, for what now we ask, the task is ours. We give you thanks that they now live and reign with you. As a great crowd of witnesses, they surround us with their blessing and offer you hymns of praise and thanksgiving.
They are alive
forevermore. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to share with you two scriptures for All Saints Sunday. The first is John 11:25, where Jesus says to us that I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha. Do you believe this, Martha? More importantly, do you believe this church? Do you believe this church? Yes, amen. Yeah. You know, today we celebrate this wonderful promise, knowing that the names of those whom we have lifted up are presently experiencing the fullness of this promise. And this promise of everlasting life is not just for some, but it is for all. For all who would receive, who all would live their life in Christ, for all who would believe in the one whom God has sent into our world. This promise is for you. It's for me. It was for David. It was for Elmer and Mary and for all of those in whom we name today. And we rejoice in these dear folks today. And it's good to know that this is not all there is here to life, that you and I were created for something so much bigger. Amen? Folks, this is something to be happy about. This is something to be joyous about. Man, it is even worth singing about, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to hurt your ears. All right? But you know, church, for many of us, even though we claim this wonderful promise and we rejoice in it, our hearts are still saddened with loss. And that's just kind of the nature of All Saints Day. In fact, that's just kind of the nature of grief. And that's all right. That's all right. You know, over the years, serving and sharing together at funerals, I've come to discover that there's almost always two things that you can count on when people are walking through the valley of the shadow. The first is tears. Tears. Lots and lots of tears. Unbearable sadness and grief over one's loss. And the second thing is laughter. Laughter. Smiles, stories full of life and laughter. You always hear those two things together. For the Christian, I like to think that we can laugh so much more because of this promise that Jesus makes to us. And yes, as Christians, we grieve. And we should. And our grief sometimes even seems almost unbearable. But we also have Jesus who helps us walk through that valley of the shadow. Tears and laughter. Tears and laughter. Both essential to us as we grieve. Don't you think? Don't you think? Now, some of us or some folks might take their humor just a little too far in the process of grieving. This can probably best be seen on grave markers where loved ones have inscribed an epitaph for everyone to see. There's one in New Mexico Cemetery that reads, "Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising." In New York, one reads, "Harry Edsel Smith of Albany, New York, died 1942. Looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was." Or this one from an English cemetery. This is my favorite. "Anna Wallace, the children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Clark Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna." It's funny. In a Uniontown, Pennsylvania cemetery, says, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake." In a cemetery in Hartscombe, England, on the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune. In another English cemetery, we find this last thoughtful epitaph. "Remember, man, as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so shall you be. Remember this and follow me." To which someone replied by writing on the tombstone, "To follow you, I'll not consent until I know which way you went." Tears, laughter, both essential for us as we grieve. The second passage of Scripture I wanted to share with you is, again, it's about God's promise of everlasting life and how God brings joy into our lives. It's from Isaiah chapter 25, where the prophet writes to us, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples. Oh, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken, for it is in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You know, last Thursday, we probably noticed some unusual folks roaming the streets. Children dressed up, superhero costumes and princesses and pumpkins and some funny costumes and some scary and a lot of winter coats. And not just the children, but parents too dressed up with many parents dressed up with their kids for a fun night of trick-or-treating. And in fact, how many of you went trick-or-treating last week? Last week. Very good. All right. What'd you dress up as? What'd you dress up as? Huh? A clown. That can be frightening. Yes. How about you guys? What'd you dress up as? What'd you dress up as? Did you not go trick-or-treating? I thought I saw a bunch of candy, you know? Did you dress up with your kids whenever they were young? Some of you dress up? Remember, what's your most memorable costume of dressing up as an adult? Do you remember? You remember? Anita? What was that look? We see you wearing boxes, so... Zebras and tigers. What fun. What fun. Yeah, it's fun to dress up, isn't it? And it's even better to get candy. You bet. It's fun to get dressed up and go out in all of our good clothes, too, to go out for an evening and all. That can be fun. One of the questions that we might ask out of this text from Isaiah 25 is maybe a fashion kind of question. How are you dressed up for church today? How are you dressed up for church today? And I'm not talking about clothing. You see, the passage here is that God is present with his people, just like God is present with us this morning. And God is throwing this feast, just like this feast represented before us here on our communion table. And the feast God is serving is a meal of rich food and the finest wines, just like the finest bread and the finest of wines that we share together in the sacrament. You see, these verses from Isaiah 25 pretty accurately describe going to church and coming to Holy Communion. So how are you dressed up for church today? How are you dressed up to be in God's presence? How are you dressed to come to this banquet table? Are you dressed up for this joyful feast of food, of good food and fine wine? See, Isaiah 25 kind of describes a problem with the dress code of his day. The people came to God's party wearing shrouds, much like the Middle Eastern veil that was worn for those who are mourning. And they were covered by sheets, like the kind of sheets that we would pull up over our dead. Do you see how they were dressed for church that day? They were dressed in grave clothes. You get that? They were dressed in grave clothes. And that got me to thinking, what are we wearing to church today? Especially as we gather to remember those dear saints who have died in the last year or so and before. As we remember those whom we love today, some of us still way too close to our time of loss. The wounds are still very, very open. And although we're getting by with the help of family and friends, we might find ourselves this day still very much dressed up in grave clothes, the shroud of mourning, the sheet of death. But yet God still invites us, doesn't he? He invites those who are presently still in that shroud, those who have walked through the valley of the shadow, and those who are really not traveling that path at all, to come to his table of the finest of bread and wine. One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, I think, is found in the book of Ecclesiastes when we read that there are appropriate times for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to laugh, a time to mourn. Life is full of opposite times. Times to build up, to tear down. Times to sow, times to reap. And then there is this time like the one that was described here in Isaiah 25. There's a time to mourn, but then comes this time, a time to dance, a time where we must live life again, a time where we can laugh again and allow ourselves to embrace the wonders and the joys of life, truly living life as God's gift again without a sense of guilt. You see, God created us for life, but not just any kind of life, but for abundant life. Not just when we were young or when we were healthy, or not just for a season, for a part of our life, and not just while our spouse is with us or not, but for life. For all of our life is created for abundant life. And yes, when our hearts are broken over a death, we must go through a time of grief, and that time and timing is different for everyone. Even though we are created for life, when times of mourning come, we must grieve. The way that God has wired us to do that is as people who need to mourn when we experience loss. You see, grief is the God-given natural pathway toward healing, and it takes time. It's a process. It takes time to walk through that valley of the shadow. And often we think that whenever we're just about out, then we kind of just get steamrolled again by some trigger, by some memory, by a song, by a smell. And that can come and that can happen years, years after. But you need to know, and this is God's word for you today, straight from Isaiah, and from many other places in His Word. God's Word is that God does not intend for us to stay in the valley of the shadow. God does not intend our grief to be forever. God did not create us for endless sadness. God did not create us for never-ending despair. Death is not the final word in our lives. God created us and our loved ones for life, to live life. And so Isaiah the prophet stands in the midst of all of his people wearing, of all of these people who are wearing grave clothes, and boldly declares, on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. You see, this is God's promise for you. This is God's promise for me. That God is victorious over death. That God will rescue us from the grave. And God will wipe away even every tear. The table in which we come to today is a symbol of that promise of God. That in Christ Jesus we have been set free from not just sin, but death also. God is at this table and we are invited to come and to sit with Him. Here is the rich food and the fine wine. Here is the promise of tears wiped away and shame removed. Here is the place where our grave clothes come off, because He is the resurrection and the life. Here is the place where we dress up in the clothing of life. And we give God thanks. Amen. Those who are assisting me to share in communion, to serve, won't you please come? Would you come to the sides, the ushers? If you would come, we'll receive our morning offering. If you could just stand to the side. Let us give God thanks. Lord, we thank You for this day, for the covenant that we share together with You. for this gift of bread and wine in the midst of these candles as we remember and think of our dear loved ones who are with you now. God, we love you together, and it is with great joy that we are able to give of who we are, of all of we are, just as these lives are represented this day. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us to the building of your church, that you'd use not just our gifts that we bring this day, but our very lives to make a difference, to change our world, to help others come to know you and to see you and to fall in love with you. For this we give you praise and thanks, Jesus. Amen. It was a night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you." Following the supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me until my coming." This is the blood of Christ poured out for you. Loving God, we thank you for this bread and for this cup this day. God, we thank you for the love that it symbolizes, the love that you have for us, the amazing sacrifice and the grace, the mercy that you've given, the forgiveness of our sins, the life everlasting, that our life and our light might join you for all eternity, just as our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us are sharing. Lord, we would ask now that you would just enter into these gifts of the bread and cup, so that as we partake of them, we partake of you. Fill us to overflowing with your grace and your love, your healing, with your forgiveness, Jesus. And may we be shining lights that reflect your light and your love in our world. And God, we give you thanks. We give you all of our praise, for it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. The body of Christ for you. This is the blood of Christ. Take and eat and drink, and each time do this in remembrance of the God who loves you and who loves all. All are welcome to receive communion. I'd invite you to come as you are ready. Let us share in the blessing of the Eucharist. If you'd like to spend some time at the communion rail, please do so. If you'd like to stand and take communion, that's fine. If you'd like to kneel or sit in your pew, it's fine as you receive. Won't you please come? Go now in the strength and the grace and the love of the God who cares for you and for all. And may you experience his peace. Amen.